The following may contain offensive language, adult humor, and or content that some viewers may find offensive. The views and opinions expressed by any one speaker does not explicitly or necessarily reflect or represent those of Mark Rattledge or W2M Network. Please listen with caution, or don't listen at all.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to a very special TV party tonight. I'm your host, Alexis Haina. Joining me, we've got a newcomer in the house tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You may have seen this gentleman on YouTube. We have a multifaceted filmmaker, goes by the name Scout Art, or you could call him Mr. Diego B. Gleason. Hello, welcome to the show. How are you?
Scout Art here, over and in. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Here. Thank you for coming in to talk about this. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's an honorous moment for me. Also an honor to meet you, of course.
Oh, likewise. So tonight, we are actually talking a little bit about animation here, folks. We have the Academy Awards, the Oscars, just around the corner. And we're not going to be talking about the best feature films. We're going to be talking about those at a later date. Myself, Mark Rattledge, and Robert Winfrey will be back probably, I think, here in like another 2 to 3 weeks to discuss the 10 nominated films. But tonight, Mr. Scout Art and I are here to talk about the 5 best animated feature film nominations. Nimbota, The Boy and the Heron, Across the Spider-Verse, Robot Dreams, and Elemental. Now, a little bit of a difference here, especially since, because even though there are 5 nominees, we can only really talk about 4 of the nominees, because Robot Dreams has not been released in the States, and it's not on any streaming platforms whatsoever. So when I decided I was going to talk about this, I was like, well, kind of hard to talk about a movie that I haven't seen yet. But Scout Art, you said you have a little info on Robot Dreams. You knew a little more about it, and you said you had some info to share with us.
Yes, Robot Dreams is something based on a graphic novel, a Spanish graphic novel, if I'm not mistaken. And recently, it won 2 Spanish Academy Awards in Spain, which is called the Goya Awards, for Best Adapted Screenplay and Best Animated Film. It was also nominated for Best Film Editing. And I guess he was also nominated for I'm not sure if it was a best musical score, but I guess some other random awards, random categories, you can say that. But of course, I can look it up in a quick way if there's any possibility.
All right. Yeah, wonder when they're finally going to have that actually come to the States. I mean, it is a little weird that it's not available on any streaming services whatsoever. It's not even available on Amazon.
Well, what I can say is that this film will be released until May of this year.
May.
Yes, okay. Pretty much a long way. You can say that.
Yeah.
But then again, it shall be a really fascinating animated film to check out, even how visually it looks. Quite simple, but when we're really with dark themes as friendship and these struggles of in the most noble way to help somebody dearly beloved to one person, which is a dog, a relationship between a dog with a robot that still is like a humane friend or a human friend.
Mm-hmm.
Which is still a really fascinating concept. And of course, I had experience when it comes to award-winning Spanish animated films. Even, for example, Planet 51 is a Spanish animated film, even though it wasn't well-received in some other places, but still conceptually fun and really visually fun, nonetheless. That's a nice example.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get started talking about the other four films. You have any particular one you want to start off with? You are our guest tonight, so why don't you go ahead and choose where we start?
Well, I guess for starters, we can start with Elemental. That film, when it comes to recently Pixar and Disney, I know that they had some really polarizing stuff around the products that they have been offering, especially the wokeism and of course, you know, the controversial stuff that there has been happening, even the LGBT, even though I do respect the LGBT, regardless of how weird the scenarios are or something like that. But still, when it comes to Elemental, all that I can say is that it's really visually amazing. You know, the effects and even the different elements that they creatively implement, like clouds, fire, water, winds, and so much more that even makes a really creative way of storytelling a romance type film. Yes, a
mm-hmm.
Really creative way of executing a rom-com, romantic comedy, per se.
Very true.
Yes, and I think it's one of the best romantic animated films that Pixar has provided, thanks to one director, which that film was inspired by his life, and of course, the female lead is the one inspired by him, which he can relate to. And of course, I can relate to that character because, well, let's just say that I can also be kind of a desperate person or even, how can I put this,
temperamental.
Yes. That kind of personality. But of course, I have a noble heart like they do. Yes. And yes, I can also struggle on many stuff when it comes to unexpected stuff or bad luck. Yes, but really a nice development on their own way of romances.
Absolutely, we did review Elemental here on the show last year. We gave it, I don't want to say glowing praise, but we did say we all liked it. And I am very, it originally came out to, I would say, kind of slightly better than mediocre reviews. And we were a little worried about that, but it has really gained traction, not to mention found a massive following from overseas fans. And we're really glad to see that. You know, this was essentially, we all said this was a movie that deserved that kind of a following.
Yes,
so,
and ironically, it's successful.
Absolutely. I will say one thing I really liked about it, and I mentioned this when we reviewed it, was I loved the different style of animation and movement that we saw with the different characters. Because they were composed of different elements, you know, literally, they all moved differently and they had different ways of animation. And that's very difficult to pull off. I loved that you could see a very different style of movement between the two main characters, Wade and Ember. They didn't just act different. They didn't just talk different. They didn't just look different. But even the way they walked, the way that they climbed the stairs, the way they jumped, it's very different styles. You really notice that in the scene when they go to the... It's like a sports arena, and you see the way the clouds, the air elemental people are moving, and it's so unique. And I love seeing films where they take the time to add in those little special details, where it's not just okay, slapdash, everything's the same. That you can tell they took their time and put in a lot of passion to that. And you are right that the director, I believe, wrote this from a lot of perspective. He is an immigrant. He wrote about a lot of what it was like growing up with an immigrant family, which the main character, Ember, does go through. And there is a lot to be said about that. There is a great feeling that this isn't just, you know, capitalizing because, you know, talking about the hot topic of immigration. This is a personal story, and it really feels like that.
And in what I can
Go ahead.
And as another bonus, I can also relate on Amber's gifted abilities when it comes to her own artistic talents, like I do have when it comes to animation, in which I'm an animator myself. Besides of doing voice dubbing and, well, at this point, reporting myself, but still struggling, but still being patient on what I can do, even remotely, hopefully.
Absolutely.
And you were saying on your following thoughts?
No, I think it does say a lot, especially to those. One of the key elements of the story is Ember realizing that she does want to do something different. And so many of us relate to that, that our parents kind of have our plans set out for us. And it's rare for a lot of, even we feel like as we get older, we have this feeling of, oh, well, it's too late to discover anything new about myself. And Ember finds that, you know, even though she thinks her fate is essentially already sealed and she knows she's going to run the store, she discovers this natural talent for working with glass. So I think it speaks to a lot of people, the idea of just, you know, no matter how late you think it is in the game, it's not set in stone. There's always time to try something new and discover new things about yourself.
Well, yes, precisely. Yes. And of course, what's really interesting is that there has been a variety of for starters, I believe this is one of the best Disney romantic animated films that at this point has provided a really solid one, even though not necessarily very, very, very amazing but still on par with that such animated romantic films like Wall-E, Beauty and the Beast, and even Lady and the Tramp. You can say on those levels, I would say something similar to Lady and the Tramp.
I could see that.
Yes, and of course, when there's no actual villains exactly, well, maybe antagonists or obstacles, like in this case, it's the fiery father.
Mm-hmm. Who's not really... not really like a main antagonist, but more just like the issues with him are kind of a hurdle. You know, the movie doesn't have a real, it has a ticking time clock with the water, but I do agree with you though. I feel that the romance between Wade and Ember was very naturally developed and it really felt genuine. The chemistry between the two actors was great, and I loved seeing how they chose to have these two characters grow and have a better understanding, and you feel them falling in love. You know, it's not just it's automatically love in first sight, and it's not opposites attract, and you know, they're butting heads the whole time and then realize, oh wait, we're in love. No, you see the relationship build, and it's very well done.
It's creative execution. That's the key in a most technical way, of course, with the highlighting visuals, which apparently it also went a very expensive form of doing it. And even most likely, I'm not sure if it caused some damage on the rendering or something. I don't remember exactly if there was an incident on rendering or something. Or I don't know if you noticed on certain news. Well, I'm not so sure, but I can guarantee that that will have been a problem when it comes to rendering forms on executing those specific visuals, all those visuals. Fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. And of course, when it comes to animated, my top animated romantic films, I would say there are four films that were released that came on four places. This will be Elemental, Ladybug the movie, Under the Boardwalk, and Mummies, which the latter is another Spanish anime film which was nominated for the Goya Award, but of course losing to Robot Dreams. And of course, the number one would be in my case with Elemental on that tough pick, I think. 9 out of 10 movie, you can say that.
Very nice.
Considerably speaking.
All right, well, let's go ahead and move on. I think the next one we're going to talk about is Nimona, which is also kind of interesting because this is, I believe, the only one that got nominated for Best Animated Feature at the Oscars, but did not get a nomination at the Golden Globes. So I'm really glad to see it. This was a Netflix release. Originally, it was a production of Blue Sky Studios, which we know folded. And Disney basically was ready to just kind of throw it away. They're just like, well, whatever. Netflix got the rights to release it, and it's proven that was a smart move because this is a really great film.
A unique one.
A very unique one. I hate that I didn't get a chance to do a Damn You Hollywood about this last year because I loved it. The animation is really cool. It's got a really fun style, brilliant voice acting by Chloe Grace Moretz as the titular character. We have Riz Ahmed. We have Eugene Liang and Francis Conroy doing backups.
Diverse cast, I suppose.
Very diverse.
And, of course, a unique world building.
Very unique world building. And that is something to be said because a lot of filmmakers, I would say, get confused with how to do proper world building because they try to create so many of these. I think the best way I can describe it is a film like Rebel Moon, which you see that Zack Snyder did that and he thought that's great world building. And it's like, no, it's really not, because just because you have a lot of details in the world, that does not mean you're building the world and really setting the stage that well. Yes, you got your finger up. Go ahead.
I think it's the first time I heard that title, Rebel Moon.
Rebel Moon, we reviewed it here on Damn You Hollywood. It's a film on Netflix. The short version, Zack Snyder went to Disney and said, I want to make a Star Wars movie that does not feature any of the pre-established characters. And Disney said no. And then Netflix said, okay, you can come here and make your movie. So it's like Star Wars if you ordered it from Wish.com. It's really not good. We didn't like it.
You mean Rebel Moon is a really polarizing example?
Well, it's an polarizing example, I would say, of the concept of world building, because a lot of storytellers get confused on how to do proper world building. They think that they can just, they confuse on how to do it. It's like by adding a lot of excess details in the background, and they think that's world building, and it's not. Nimona capitalizes on how to do good world building, not only from having, you know, such a unique setting, but we actually learn more about how the world works, not only through our main characters, but through actions of some of the background characters. It feels very realistic to us. And again, this is a really unique setting because it combines elements of like a medieval time with the knights and the swords and everything, but it's also futuristic because we got freaking flying cars and technology and TVs and stuff. So
Middle Ages meets technology.
Exactly.
Creatively speaking.
So yeah, it's such a different film, but it is so good. What were your thoughts on Nimona?
Well, really amazed, really fascinating animated film. But also what intrigued me is the hardships that the main characters have, particularly the one that lost his arm, which of course, when I first watched that film, I was on a really, well, let's say a really hurt moment after my fiasco with what I used to admire, and I really felt like that guy that became the black sheep of the world, mm-hmm. when he loses and he gets mistreated or misunderstood, and that's what causes all those consequences of being misunderstood or even underappreciated, when you know that feeling of being viewed as a villain, which he's not, or even I'm not a narcissistic or something like that. I can compare that kind of situation. Yes, really relatable. Hardships that film provided in those elements. Yes.
Exactly. It really does shed a light on what unchecked prejudice does to the world around us, especially with Nimona's backstory, the idea that, you know, she was essentially the monster that this whole society was built around fighting. And she's not a monster. You know, just it was a misunderstanding, and it has essentially built just how this kingdom works. And it says a lot to the idea of just we need to be better understanding. We need to learn more about what happens in the past and not just let that kind of stuff go unchecked. We cannot be afraid of that sort of thing.
Yes, and what's funny is that I can relate the Nimona to my middle big sister's likable attitude. Yes, quite laughable. I mean, making poking some fun, but still a nice heart regardless.
Alex said, I was really glad to see it get nominated. This is a film that if more people have, again, it didn't get a theatrical release, got released on Netflix, but if you haven't seen it, go check it out.
Well, technically it got some theatrical release, although maybe some limited ones.
You're right. It did get, it had
a theatrical film, at least for, yes, even though I wanted to see it in theaters at one point, but unfortunately it was too late to check the calendars or the schedule, and I guess I was not available at the moment when at the same time I had to go to my think tank school and organizing my schedule, and yes, I missed that theatrical opportunity, but
you're right, sometimes the connection freezes, you're okay, but you are right, it had its world premiere at the Annecy International Animation Film Festival and was released in select cinemas on June 23rd but made its streaming debut on June 30th. So yeah, if you didn't get a chance to see it in theaters, you know, unfortunately that's kind of how the dice rolls when a film is released only in select cities. But if you have access to Netflix, go check it out. It's a great movie. It's beautiful animation and a really good, very solid voice cast.
Based on the source material, the graphic novel of the mm-hmm. same title. And of course I read the comic before watching the movie.
Oh yeah. Yes. Great.
And it was an interesting, it was quite different, but still, we can say it was an interesting comparison of what's mm-hmm. different and what's in the movie. And even a really interesting story that it has in the graphic novel, and how the characters were interacting, and how the LGBT element is handled there, even though it's not showing much, but still you can get that still is a romance between two same genders. But still, I think it should also be nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay, since maybe Shrek, or even Toy Story 3, but it was not, nonetheless.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to check out the graphic novel yet. So do you recommend reading the graphic novel if you got some time?
Yes, I suppose so. Yes, you can check it out somehow, even online if you're lucky, or well, I guess I think it's a webcomic it is a webcomic originally.
Maybe it started as a webcomic, but I think it is available on print now, because I think I saw it on Amazon. So,
well, yes, I managed to read it online, so it shall be an interesting check out on that original source material to know your thoughts on that, because it's still same concept nonetheless. Creative.
Absolutely.
Concept.
All right, well, let's go on and move on to the next one, and that is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I think a lot of people were actually hedging on this one to win at the Golden Globes, because the first one, Into the Spider-Verse, had won, and this was a great follow-up to that first movie. Again, we reviewed it last year. We absolutely loved it. We praised it. I love the combining of all the different animation styles that you would think would look just so cluttered on the screen or hard to follow. It's so many directors who, when they try to combine multiple animation styles, it doesn't work. It just doesn't look that good. But this one really did a great job. I love just all the details. Even when you have the scenes with the Renaissance era vulture in the beginning, and how he looks like he's made of parchment. And if you look at the details, you can actually see just little measurements and notes like you would see on one of Da Vinci's classic sketches. So, really looking forward to when the third film is coming out. I can't even remember when that movie. I believe it got delayed, recording and working, because of the SAG strike.
Yes, it is apparently due to the controversial strike, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was the animation strike. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I had to check something. Can you hear me?
No?
Can you hear me, Diego?
Well, barely.
That's weird.
I guess I can. Okay. You were saying about the
strike. Yeah, we were talking about the strike and how we think that's what's delayed beyond the Spider-Verse.
The animation or the acting strike?
I think I mentioned the acting strike, and then you mentioned the animation strike.
Well, I guess it has something related, because of course there has been some animators that were handled not that well at the studio.
I did hear that. Yeah, apparently the directors were demanding just crazy hours. Essentially, it's just like you might as well be sleeping in your studio, because Lord knows you're never going to get this work done. So, I have heard a lot of those complaints.
I can notice, even though I lack experience, this I hope to have some nice experience and hopefully not having some sufferable experiences when it comes to the animation environment, because of course, like I said, I'm a multifaceted artist. Mm-hmm. Oh, and before I say to Spider-Verse, I forgot to mention that my ranking to Nimona will be another 9 out of 10, or even 9.5 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that.
definitely. I actually include Nimona in my top 10 best films of 2023. I absolutely loved it.
Yes. Either 9 or 9.5. And of course, when it comes to Spider-Verse, I really was intrigued by that. I was amazed by it, especially visually, and even how well it made the complex storyline. Even though you can also watch it twice in order to sometimes understand things, specific things, like what happens to some complex stories, but still a really amazing, visually amazing movie. But of course, one thing that I can complain is that, of course, it feels like it has a cliffhanger and it's not a complete film nonetheless, because you have to wait for the other part.
Yeah, we actually talked in the when we reviewed this. It's interesting because so Across the Spider-Verse got delayed. It was supposed to come out the year prior in October, and then it got delayed to the spring summer of last year. Now, when it was originally scheduled for the October release, the early teasers were heavily marketing that it was part one. Mm-hmm. But once they delayed it, they erased that. So there were a lot of people who didn't know this was going to be a two-part movie. They knew there was a third one coming out, but they didn't know that it was going to end on a to be continued. And I don't know if that was actually... I don't know why Sony decided to drop the part one from their marketing campaign. I don't know if that would have been a good thing. I don't know if that was a smart move or a dumb move per se. I mean, financially, it wasn't a big deal because Lord knows this money definitely made back more than enough money. So, but what do you think they should have kept the part one in the... in the marketing, or do you think it's fine as is, and it was fine that a lot of people went in being surprised?
Well, it could maybe it won't have been it would work the prior option, but at this point I can respect what they had to change their minds to organize some stuff, I guess, but. Mm-hmm. But I think they should have managed some stuff when it comes to the following part two coming.
Yeah, Beyond the Spider-Verse, which hopefully we'll get a release date and some more info on that pretty soon.
Sure, but... and of course, and it will be another 9 or 9.5 out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
Movie. Yes, because of course... or even at least 9 out of 10, of course, simply because still it may have some issues, but it's a considerable one, but still an excellent Spider-Man experience. And even when it comes to the relationship of the characters and the fun moment of hey, people, capture Spider-Man, stop Spider-Man, you.
That was a good scene.
if they even stopped at that moment and not specifying which Spider-Man, it would have been chaos. You.
That would have been good.
That would have been hilarious. And yes, even really a nice moment between Miles and his mom that we must always that one should always be loyal to the little oneself. Even I am loyal to my little oneself because
yeah,
I have that cuteness still. I have the cuteness of the little one and the hyperactivity of a high schooler, you know, 18 one, and the independence of a grown-up one. I have those three elements as a fun fact of how I describe myself in a unique way.
Yeah. Thanks for the emoji there, Canvas Content.
I wonder if that's a YouTube member.
I believe it is. Yes, he's got the YouTube on there. So, no. But yes, if you haven't seen Across the Spider-Verse, obviously, it is a really great film, really wonderful sequel, amazing animation.
Yes, and 10 out of 10 animation.
Definitely. Again, this was also one of my top 10 picks for films of last year. And I would say that I believe that it would have the best animated feature Oscar in the bag, except if it wasn't for our final movie we're going to talk about, The Boy and the Heron, coming to us from the always incredible Hayao Miyazaki and Studio Ghibli. Now, I just saw this yesterday. I didn't get a chance to see it when it was at the theater near my home. Lucky. And it is only playing in one movie theater here in Kansas City, which is like, and it's like 30 minutes away from my home. So I had to go all the way down there just to see this movie. So glad I did, of course. I mean, it almost feels like, it's like, well, what are we supposed to say? It's Hayao Miyazaki. Of course, it's
beautiful.
Brilliant. Of course, it's beautiful. Of course, it's groundbreaking. Of course, it's just so emotional, and it really gets you. I mean, it's like, yeah, that's Hayao Miyazaki in a nutshell. What are you supposed to say about him?
And really nice hand-drawn animation.
Oh, absolutely. It is a very different film from what I think we've seen with him before. And I'm not going to lie, seeing the Birdman the first time he comes out of the heron's mouth is actually
uncanny.
Very uncanny. It's like first you see the heron talking and then you see the teeth and then you see the nose and it's like, wait, what the heck? And then you see the eyes coming out of the mouth. Like, oh my God, that is not right. That is so not right.
Roll up on your nightmares.
Yeah, really surprised at the voice acting for that. I knew that Robert Pattinson was doing a voice, but then I also heard that Willem Dafoe was going to be in it. And I guess part of me figured Willem Dafoe was going to voice the Heron because it's Willem Dafoe. And then I was like, wait,
Robert Pattinson?
Yeah, and it was, oh, I love Willem Dafoe. I love everything he's in. But then it's like, wait, Robert Pattinson is the voice of the Heron? Because the way he does it. I've seen a handful of movies with Robert Pattinson. He's a great actor. You know, he is so good. If you haven't seen him in The Lighthouse, folks, go check it out. It is an amazing film.
Oh, I thought that you were talking that William Dafoe was the Heron. Yes.
Nope. William Dafoe plays the noble pelican. Very brief role. And again, it just kind of threw me for a loop. It was just like, that's, again, it's like you would never point at the voice of the Heron and think that's the guy who just recently played Batman, that's the vampire from Twilight. So it's like, no, I did not. He sounds so different. It's surreal. It really is.
A pelican, huh?
Yep, noble pelican.
But it's not the Heron, the main bird character, right?
Nope.
Okay, I guess it's an it, I guess the pelican is the one that appears later in the film, right?
The one who delivers the message of why they're eating the oh my God, how the heck did they pronounce that, the Waharaha, the, I don't know, those little white floating things. I don't know what they said they were being reborn in the world, so it's like, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
I suppose it's the one that it's that the injured one.
He's the injured one who dies. Yes.
Right. And the funny thing is that actually I saw the film in its original language, which is Japanese.
Oh, okay. I didn't get the option. It was only released at the theaters here with the English dubbing. I was not given the option to see it in the original Japanese.
So I guess we have contrasting experiences on that.
Well, I guess so. I won't go into too much more about the English voice dubbing, but I will say this. Studio Ghibli has a history of doing really good American voice dubbing. Picking some terrific actors who bring so much personality to this. And this film does exactly that. We've got some great actors providing the American voice cast, including not just Robert Pattinson. We have Gemma Chan, Christian Bale, Mark Hamill, Florence Pugh, Willem Dafoe, Dave Bautista. Freaking Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy is the voice of the Parakeet King. Yeah, it's like, who had on their bingo card seeing Dave Bautista voice a man, a flesh-eating parakeet? Because I don't think anyone could have predicted that.
I see. Well, all-star cast for voice dubbing.
Mm-hmm. Now, Studio Ghibli has always done a really great job of picking top-level American voice casting.
And I still have to see the other movie, which of course I was about to see it on Netflix, but unfortunately they took it out when I was still in the first minutes of watching it, and I had to skip it due to other stuff that I had to do, which was the one that was released in 2013, which it was ironically supposed to be the final film from Hayao Miyazaki, in which, of course, I always knew that he would have another idea. He has his own decisions, and the most important thing is that he's healthy enough to still have more ideas to share and, you know, to inspire more. Yes.
Yeah, you know, I know, I hate to say it, I think you're right. He is saying that this is going to be his final film, but
you never know, but hopefully not. Hopefully there's another surprise as long as he's healthy, because of course I would like to eventually know Japan in person. I mean, traveling to Japan, and since it's one of my favorite cities, favorite countries, because it's an epic place when it comes to epic stories, and even a lot of animes that I've watched, and my favorite is One Piece. Yes.
Yeah, no, the film you were talking about, 2013, was The Wind Rises.
Yes, that one.
Yeah. Yeah, again, about... Jiro Horikoshi, chief engineer of many Japanese fighter designs in World War II.
Yes, that one. I still have to finish watching it. Exactly. And when it comes to my thoughts on Boy and the Heron, it was another fascinating Hayao Miyazaki from Studio Ghibli film. And of course, the story may not be very understandable when it comes to being clear of what's going on, which is one of those films that you have to maybe conveniently watch the film twice. Even some other Japanese films have that kind of situation, but you can at least understand. You do your best to understand how it can deliver things in a metaphorical way. In the best way possible, yes. And of course, when it comes to the message that the film provides, it's apparently the legacy that strategically provides, even regardless of how apparently the fall is happening or changes are happening in the studio or even management. And still, one has to be grateful of the things that has been done, something like that.
Very much so. For me, I took it a lot as they talk about that. There's the scenes with Mark Hamill's character as the great granduncle, and he talks about building the world, but it needs to be built without malice, because the world will fall, and our Mahito, our main character, talks about his own malice and how he's scared to build a world even if the stones do not contain malice. He worries about his own. And for me, I took that as just, you have to let go of your anger and the of your malice, of just all that hatred. Because we all, yeah, we all have to build our own worlds. We have to keep going and move on and continue to build the worlds around us. But a world that is built with malice isn't always going to fail. So that was the message I took from it, just the idea of you have to learn to let go and move on from your grief and your anger. You know, they will always be there in the past, but you have to take steps to ensure that they're not there in your future.
Well, at least like Rafiki says best, past can hurt, but you can either run away from it or learn from it.
Learn from it.
Specific stuff.
Yes. Very true. And yes, thank you, Canvas Content, for a good Rolling Stone pun is always very highly appreciated.
Canvas, huh? That reminds me of the technique that they used at for Tarzan when it comes to the animation.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of animation, when it comes to the animation itself, really, really beautiful as usual when it comes to Japanese and Studio Ghibli's fluent or smooth standards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, it's like you could sit there and say it's like, oh, it's so beautiful. It's like, yeah, it's Studio Ghibli. We would expect nothing but some of the absolute best 2D hand-drawn animation in the world to come from these guys.
And some historical moment when it comes to Golden Globes.
So those are the five films that are up for Best Animated Feature. But I do want to talk briefly about some
of the... And of course, a 10 out of 10 film, considerably speaking.
Definitely. But I do want to talk about some of the films that did not get nominated for Best Picture and whether or not we think that's fair. So we did get a lot of really good animated films in 2023. One of the ones I think a lot of people that were surprised that got nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Animated Feature but not an Oscar was the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I was really surprised. Although maybe not intensifying, but still I really wish it got a chance. But also not only for Best Animated Film because somehow. The Super Mario movie would have been also would also have deserved a nomination for Best Adapted Screenplay and of course maybe Best Sound. And of course some people say that the screenplay was crap, but what I can understand is that the story may be simple, but still the execution is what worked amazingly when it comes to the Super Mario Brothers, especially its structure, the film's storyline structure coming from the games, which makes it a big blockbuster, a groundbreaking animated film adaptation from the video games, which it
definitely worked. I absolutely agree. I mean, for so long, the idea of trying to adapt a video game into a movie was considered a curse. And we have seen in the last few years that, no, we can make it work. We have seen some really great adaptations. We saw The Last of Us. We had the two Sonic the Hedgehog movies, to the point that everyone's really excited for this third one that's going to be coming out.
From good to better, and now hopefully, or even better to somehow amazingly. Mm-hmm. And now hopefully the third one shall be quite more amazing.
Definitely, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Was snubbed. Also, Jack Black's song was quite snubbed when
that actually legit kind of pissed me off. I mean. There was all this talk about it, but then when you look at the actual nominations for Best Original Song, and Barbie gets two nominations, and one of them is for I'm Just Ken, which was a good song. It was fun. But I guess I'm saying it's like, so wait, I'm Just Ken gets a nomination, but Peaches doesn't? It was a slight double standard there.
Well, on one hand, I do understand the situation, but on the other hand, still, Peaches sounded like a parody song and not necessarily something giving a message or something, even though it's an entertaining one. But still, even it was a one minute with 30 seconds kind of song, which I
kind of... Oh, it was very short.
It will have been very difficult to be nominated for that. But I was, but when it comes to the other categories, like I said, maybe best sound and best original, best adapted screenplay, that will have been something more deserving than just a really short song. Even best animated film would have been great. Yes. But yes, I do understand the situation. They say Blame Canada. Well,
Blame Canada. Yeah, talking about the idea of the parody songs getting. Yeah, because oh my God, Blame Canada was. I still remember when
Blame
Robin
Canada.
Performed
Blame
that
Canada.
At the Oscars. That was just one of the greatest moments in Oscar history.
Well, but in the sung by Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was awesome.
Oh yes, in memory of Robin Williams. Yes. I can relate to his humanity, especially the bicentennial man. When I also had to watch that film when I was feeling very upset, and I had to relate to his humanity, sense of humanity. Mm-hmm. You know that humble stuff to be a little bit cheered up, even though bittersweet on that film, Robin Williams film. Yes, but speaking of songs, when it comes to the song that won best song beating Blink Canada, which was You'll Be in My Heart.
Yeah, the song from Tarzan, that's right.
Yes, regarding Disney, even though when it comes to other nominations that got snapped, like Wish, even though it was a solid celebration for my taste, I did like this Wish and as a unique original fairy tale. I think it was optional to be nominated for best animated film, but I think it would have been nominated for best original song. But I guess I didn't notice that at the end of the day, one of the songs never reached to the final list. I guess I misread that.
Yeah, I don't think Wish got any nominations.
I don't know.
We did review Wish here on Damn You Hollywood.
And what
did you say? Slight spoiler alert, we all really didn't like it. We didn't like it. We did not like Wish.
Hello?
None of us liked it. Okay, check your audio. Can you hear me? Check. 1, 2.
You didn't enjoy.
No,
Wish
we didn't
that
like
much.
It. No. Right? Someone actually made a suggestion that movie was written by AI, and I am now convinced it probably was.
I really doubt it because it was supposedly written by Jennifer Lee, the head of animation, and of course, what I really like about that film is that the main highlights will be the songs and the animation, the unique animation. Even though it's not necessarily that groundbreaking like Spider-Verse, but still quite unique nonetheless. Even the backgrounds, which is what impressed me the most, because without those digital or cel-shaded characters, those backgrounds can can look better, can have potential to craft them with a hand-drawn animated character. Which of course I have a passion project for that.
Okay,
that would be an intro. That would be that. At least that had a positive impact when it comes to some visuals, and of course when it comes to the musical moments, I think it's something reminiscent to the Disney Parks musical celebrations, and even the star song, a star. That kind of reminds me of the Celebrate the Future, Hand in Hand, those kind of parade songs.
Okay, it does kind of sound like a parade song, yeah.
Yes, the film itself kind of reminds me of the same polarizing reactions that Pocahontas had when it was first released. But I guess Pocahontas has become a much more better executed animated film than Wish, even though that one was a solid celebration, while Pocahontas was like a Romeo and Juliet type of story. Still well executed in its own right to become a solid kind of classic.
All right, let's see here. Got a couple other films here. Even though I can understand why it wasn't nominated, I kind of wish that Chicken Run Dawn of the Nugget had gotten nominated for no other reason. It is so rare to see good stop motion animation. You know, we had Guillermo del Toro win for his adaptation of Pinocchio not too long ago. And that film, we reviewed it and I could not stop gushing about how brilliant it was. And that I cried. I sobbed so hard at the end.
You mean
I didn't get.
You mean Pinocchio?
Pinocchio, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, from Guillermo del Toro. Yeah, you know, it's just like, no, that it's like normally I just get a little misty-eyed. No, that movie made me cry. I sobbed so hard at the end of that.
Yeah, even though I'm not a fan of bittersweet endings, that I found it was something faithful to the source material, but turned out to be quite different. And I guess the happy ending is something that now the Disney one that was adapted from the classic Pinocchio.
The live action one with Tom Hanks, yeah.
Yeah, from Robert Zemeckis, which had potential when it comes to the right materials to craft a solid Pinocchio, but unfortunately, it turned out to be a polarizing feature, even though I did enjoy it, even visually speaking, like a visual razzle dazzle ride and like other Robert Zemeckis motion capture films, but still, it was really fast paced, that even makes Mario better when it comes to the pacing, which of course Mario Brothers was also criticized apparently for its pacing, but. But still, the pacing in itself was really good in its own right. I mean, the pacing did work on Mario, nonetheless. Even as an animated film, the standard of animated films length with 92 minutes. And of course, I did like better when it comes to the positive ending on Disney's live action of Pinocchio. Becoming really a real boy, without saying clownisms. Pleonasms, really real. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. A really real boy. And when it comes to Guillermo's version, that's more of an unfortunate one when it comes to not becoming a real and just being permanently
a puppet. Yeah, the wood.
Yes. And ironically, it becomes like a creation that the author has done. And the other irony is that recently the co-director of Pinocchio just perished, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Very sad. Oh, the sad irony.
All right.
Really, well done film. Amazing. 9.5 film when it comes to my own rating, inspired rating at that time. Yes.
Well, like I said, I can understand why Dawn of the Nugget didn't get the nomination, but I guess part of me kind of wished it did. If for no other reason, I adore Aardman Animation. I have so many of their pieces on DVD. I love them. And
number one, the first one when it comes to Chicken Run is one of the greatest.
Oh yeah,
my personal favorite non-Disney animated film.
I love the original Chicken Run. Great, great movie.
Yes, so,
again, I guess I kind of wanted them to get the nomination, if for no other reason, I wanted that pat on the back for Aardman Animation.
It was optional, nonetheless, and still it got nominated for best animated film at the British Academy Awards.
Yeah, it did.
Something else that I forgot to mention when it comes to the Mario movie, when it got nominated for the Golden Globes, which of course it was kind of a milestone that one animated film gathered multiple award nominations at those awards. And at one point I found that when they announced that the Mario movie was receiving the box office achievement award, I found it was a unique achievement for the Mario movie itself, only for the Mario movie as a special achievement award for that film. But then I eventually realized that it wasn't only for that film. It was also for the other films. It was a standard category, not a special category. A special achievement award category, like they did with Toy Story when they awarded that film for the special achievement category. I was kind of expecting that, but I guess it was good, too good to be true, to at least gather a special win for that film, because of course it was one of the greatest blockbusters achievements since The Lion King, the original one, and Toy Story. When it comes to the Super Mario movie, the number one film of the year, really. Blockbuster films.
All right. Are there any other animated films you want to talk about? I got a couple others that came out here. We had the Ninja Turtles movie, Mutant Mayhem. We had Migration.
The Ninja Turtles movie was also quite optional to be nominated because there has been other strong competitors. I still really enjoyed the Ninja Turtles movie, and it was also visually amazing nonetheless. Similar to Spider-Verse, but still kind of sketchy.
No, I really liked Mutant Mayhem's animation style. It is very Spider-Verse inspired, but it was almost essentially like, I kind of felt like they took, essentially it's like, just imagine that the Spider-Verse animation is a filter and they put that over the original comic books that Eastman and Laird wrote. I thought they did a great job representing that original art. And I've joked about this before, but one of the things hang on a second. Sorry, throat's a little scratchy tonight. One thing I absolutely loved was this was the first Ninja Turtles movie to actually have teenagers playing the Ninja Turtles. And this was an element that I didn't think they'd ever really tackle before. And I loved it. I love the personality that these kids gave to each of the turtles. It was fun just listening to them joke around and just act like kids, like teenagers. We have seen a lot in the other iterations of the characters.
At least specifically smart teens. Let's put it that way. Yes, and because after all, they are iconic characters. But I kind of wish that the classes one.
Donatello.
Donatello would have a. Well, not that high-pitched voice, at least in my personal opinion. It would have been still cool to gather another type of actor to voice him, but he was fine nonetheless. What he did, it was fair enough.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, really enjoyed that. And I know they're setting up for a sequel, and I hope that we get it because, this is a version of the Ninja Turtles I would like to see more of.
Really cool animated film, yes.
Oh, very much so.
Yes, and of course, the other animated film that you mentioned, Migration. Mm-hmm. And that was another fun-filled animated film for family entertainment, a solid family entertainment.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Really an ambitious one. And yes, kind of outrageous when it comes to unpredictability, especially of how the heart of the film handles and how the characters go through on the adventure. Even when it comes to the apparent arc of the old brother, you need a hug.
That was cute. I did love the voice acting of the two younger ducks. Again, that was a movie we reviewed, and it is a very fun film. You know, I was actually surprised, not that it was good, but the trailers made it look like they were going to spend most of their time in New York City, and I am so glad that that was just a quick side note. I also love the little touch that we have humans in the movie, but the humans don't talk. It gives this sense that the humans are the natural predators, almost like a force of nature. And again, I thought that was a very creative touch, and I really liked it.
Especially the chef one. Although yeah. I'm not sure if I ever tasted the duck or the ranch, well, the duck itself, the roasted duck, which I guess it tastes like chicken or turkey.
I have not had duck in I don't know how long. I have had chicken a l'orange. The chicken a l'orange is good.
So yes, I'm a fan of chickens. Of course, when we talked about chicken runs. the nuggets. I love it, mommy.
That was a good scene.
Yes, the promotional scene and then the reviewing scene. Oh, I love it. I love you, mommy. I'm moving right along.
All right. Are there any other animated films that came out this last year that you want to talk about, or should we get on to our predictions?
Well, actually, there are other animated films that I have listed on my own when it comes to the 2003 lineup, or should I say 2003 animation related. Other animated films that of course were listed and then not nominated were the followings, like the Trolls Band Together, which I really was surprised on that film of how visually marvelous went through when it comes to expanding more worlds and even the antagonists, true antagonists like the narcissistic twins, which those remind me of the classic cartoons.
Yeah, I saw the design and they gave them, it's actually interesting because they gave them a character design that I have not really seen. It had nothing to do with the trolls. They look like Fleischer rubber hose
yes,
characters
even,
that we would have seen in the 1930s.
Yes, even they can count on the Cuphead boss scenarios.
Yeah, so again, it's like, that's a very interesting. Now, I admit, I only saw clips. I haven't actually seen Band Together. So
it's interesting to watch it nonetheless. And of course, other animated films that I can mention here is when it comes to IP animated films. We talk about my there are top six that I ranked here. Mm-hmm. The number one is the number six is Paw Patrol's The Mighty Movie. Number five, Trolls. Number four, Turtles and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Mutant Mayhem. Miraculous Ladybug and Cartoon Noir the movie, or just Ladybug the movie. Spider-Verse, which is number two, and number one, nonetheless, the Super Mario movie.
Okay.
And of course, the reason why I don't put number one on Spider-Verse is because, even though it was groundbreaking, amazing, it still it felt like it still has something more to expect when it comes to the other part, which of course feels like it has a cliffhanger and not a complete movie.
Okay, I gotcha.
It's a technical way of considering, but still an amazing movie. But still, in a deserved way, Super Mario movie deserved much more love from the critical view. But it was great that the audiences in their own right were totally praising the film like a masterpiece.
Definitely.
And yes, it's a groundbreaking masterpiece since the classic Disney films like Toy Story and The Lion King when it comes to groundbreaking achievements, blockbuster achievements in a deserved way. And of course, yes, the Ladybug movie would have been also an interesting nominee, although that's also a musical film. But mm-hmm. I guess it was also tough to see that nominated. But still, a really better musical film compared to Wish when it comes to rankings.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, I have another ranking on here when it comes to, well, if you've seen previously my film ranks on the list of Letterboxd,
mm-hmm.
which of course the number five on my list, which is animated, my top five animated musical films of last year, will be number five, Mummies; number four, Leo; number three, Wish; number two, Under the Boardwalk; and number one, Ladybug the Movie.
Okay.
And all that I can say is that Ladybug, it's something that wish to be, ironically, without saying much, wish. but Ladybug, it felt like a combination, a cool combination of Spider-Man, Sailor Moon, and of course, Disney romantic musicals.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool combination, of course, when it comes to something adapted from the series, but still works in its own right, in its own way as a film of its own. Even though I can see it quite underappreciated when it comes not being nominated for other awards, like also has been happening to Under the Boardwalk, which that film is another musical animated film that came from Paramount, but it was really limited. Released in theaters mm-hmm. because of Paramount's decisions of not releasing original stuff and just IP films.
I gotcha.
Yes, and Under the Boardwalk is like a combination of Grease and West Side Story. A really interesting one, and also with the aesthetics of the designs of Sebastian the Crab per se. It's a really interesting musical and made film when it comes to those elements of hermit crabs.
Yeah,
then you have Leo. Have you seen Leo?
I haven't had a chance to yet. It's on my to-do list.
It's kind of a crazy animated Adam Sandler film, mm-hmm. but still a really solid one at this point. But although it still has some sense of humor that can be quite gross, but still a better, really enjoyable Adam Sandler film. And when it comes to the Spanish animated film that was released by Warner Bros., which was The Mummies, that one has only three songs. And of course, that's why it's on the lower list, but still a really fun film to check out, which of course it was from the same writers that collaborated with the award-winning Spanish animator Enrique Gato, which of course you probably have remembered the name when I was chatting with you about the works that he has provided, especially one of my favorite non-Disney animated film, which was Capture the Flag.
Okay.
Yes. A really underappreciated one. One of my favorite non-Disney animated films, actually. Very unique one. And yes, Wish is on the middle, because at least it has the Disney standards, but it wouldn't have been something much more.
All right, well, let's go ahead and let's get our prediction in. We got the five films. Who do you think's walking away with the Oscar?
Well, this shall be a little tough one. Well, although hopefully Disney doesn't go any further trouble when it comes to maybe Elemental winning it. You never know how things happen. But well, for my prediction, I think for my own pick, I would go either Nimona or Boy and the Heron. Boy and the Heron would be a really amazing choice when it comes to, for the first time, another Ghibli film winning another Oscar, but not only that, but another traditional hand-drawn animated film to win that Oscar, or even going to Nimona, which I could also see it as another Shrek scenario when it comes to for winning another animated film that has left at Disney. You can say that. but also as another adaptation from a source material, which of course Shrek was adapted from a source material which was an illustrated book. That's an interesting comparison.
Yes, so many people forget that movie was an adaptation. Yeah, yes, I was just saying. Yeah, so many people forget that Shrek was an adaptation. For my prediction, I'm going to go with The Boy and the Heron. Again, if it was normal, okay. Normally, I would have given the prediction to Across the Spider-Verse, but Boy and the Heron is just so amazing. And again, it did get the Golden Globe, which is usually a good precursor. So if I had to put money down, I'm putting it on The Boy and the Heron. I predict Miyazaki will get his Oscar.
I wouldn't be surprised if Robot Dreams has the luck to that.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up our discussion here. So let's go ahead and move on to our plugs. Again, I introduced you as a multifaceted filmmaker and a YouTuber. So why don't you tell us, where can our viewers find you?
Well, you can naturally find me on my YouTube, which is called Scout Art, because I'm a scout and an artist. And of course, I scout around many places, and even when it comes to financial activities, even at this point I try to do volunteerings in order to be part of my curriculum. And at this point I'm being being nationalized after gathering my work visa, because I was originally from Mexico and then I came to Canada, specifically in Vancouver. And then a couple of years later, I came finally to here. Even though I was sometime in Seattle, near Seattle, Burton specifically, but yes, right now I'm in Federal Way, and in my YouTube channel, you can at least find specific stuff in my playlist. At this point, I usually do occasional things there, particularly when it comes to random stuff, random videos, or even short films at this point, experimental ones. But I shall also think of other stuff that I can post around. Publish. Am I okay? Publish in YouTube. That's what it's called. I'm putting some more videos in my YouTube channel. That's called publish videos in YouTube, right? Am I correct?
That's a pretty good way to say. I was gonna say you got a new fan here out of Mr. Canada's content.
Yes, I can see. Me doy cuenta. No hay problema. No hay problema. And of course, fun fact: I come from. I already said that I was from Mexico, and I was originally born in Tijuana, Baja California.
Okay.
And then I went from there to Mexico City, and then from Mexico City to Costa Rica, then Colombia, and then newly to Mexico City, and then finally in State of Mexico, which specifically Metepec and Toluca. Yes. Even though, ironically, State of Mexico, it's a State of Mexico, how original, and Mexico City is a city of Mexico. Yes. Oh, my God.
I'm wearing you thin, man. I'm wearing you out.
And I ran off of water.
I'd say, you want to be on a show with us, you need a much larger bottle of water to survive.
I do my best. I do my best.
All right. Diego, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Really appreciate it.
Yes, and of course, and keep in mind, you can also check my list, my specific playlist, where you can find my short films that I made mostly in Mexico. And you can also compare me to Guillermo del Toro, I suppose, even though right now he resides in Los Angeles, but I still have a loyal connection with Mexico because I'm also a voice dubbing actor, which I report myself. And of course, one of my goals is to be part of the voice dubbing cast of certain projects, especially One Piece, because I can relate to the main character, which is Luffy. If you ever heard of One Piece,
Oh yeah, we actually reviewed the live action adaptation that Netflix did here on the show.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, no, oh, big One Piece fan. I love that anime.
And speak of that, it's too bad that it wasn't nominated for best for any categories at the Golden Globes. Or
unfortunately, yeah, that was really good.
And I think Japanese related people with maybe Japanese American people can have potential to even improve things in the management of Hollywood when it comes to qualities, specific qualities, huh? Even in Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, and of course, there's one film passion project that I have in mind when it comes to my goals for Disney animation, even though hopefully those don't go wasted for nothing. Hopefully things go in control and not going out of control, like they are mentioning in all news, that because of wokeism and something like that, it's really backfiring the studio, the management, and even Bob Iger or something like that. I just hope that my goals don't go wasted. Yes, and even when it comes to my inspirations from DisneySea Tokyo, in which one of the attractions was involved by the legendary Alan Menken, which he's my backbone of my project. He's the backbone of and heart of my musical hand-drawn project for Disney animation, reminiscent of the Renaissance of the 1990s, huh?
Awesome.
In which I was born in those years.
Well, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap things up here. So, yes, again, thank you, Diego, for coming in to talk about this. So, we will see you all next time. You alive over there? You okay?
Yes. It's just that, just as a final, just one last thing.
Oh, yes, please, go ahead.
To show you, as this is a recommendation. Bingo. This is one animated masterpiece that I highly recommend to check out, which is Enrique Gatto's Capture the Flag. Really underappreciated one. Something reminiscent to Steven Spielberg
films. Wow.
Yes, Enrique Gatto is like the equivalent to Nick Park and Steven Spielberg because he has won many Goya Awards.
Very cool.
Yes, really cool, fun fact. And of course, and of course you can check out my playlist on favorite non-Disney animated films, even though it's not the most of the references are not transcended well when it comes to some mentions of mine of what inspired me, but
mm-hmm.
At least there's a bright side, nonetheless, a silver line on what I experienced previously to know my own knowledge, something like that, in an influenced way. And coming soon, I'll be making a student short film that I'm collaborating with my former classmates of a think tank training center, in which I'm crafting a cinema representation when it comes to the world building of movie theaters, something reminiscent to the commercials that open in the theaters that coming soon in cinemas, and you know those digital immersive stuff in the cinemas. popcorn and quiet place and how it can go as a roller coaster, which there's a one commercial in which was it had a roller coaster, which is something from Regal Cinemas. Yes. You shall wait for that eventually, which my intention is to be nominated for Best Student Short Film.
Fingers crossed for you, man.
Yes, as a after graduating project, even though I'm not a think tank at this point, but still I'm in contact with my fellow student mates to craft that film in great collaboration. Yes.
All right. Well, hey, thanks everyone for tuning in. Thank you for taking the Campus Content for all of the comments. Always love seeing you come up, man. So, sure. Again, for Mr. Scout Art, Mr. Diego Gleason, I'm Alexis Haynes saying have a wonderful time, and we don't get paid enough for this.